a fight over who gets to sit in the courtroom for the trial of Lori Vallow. Let's talk about it. Good day, everyone. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. As I told you last night, if you were watching the live, well, I'm on the road today. Had to go check out what was going on with the new Crime Talk 1. I'll send some pictures to Frank, and he can put them in here. But the news today, there was a hearing, and it was about who gets to sit in the courtroom when witnesses are testifying, okay? The court issued a sequestration order, and that basically says that witnesses are not allowed to sit in the courtroom and watch other people's testimony. That's pretty routine in most cases. The only place I didn't see that followed was basically in the Alec Murdoch trial, where everybody got to sit in on the testimony. Very unusual. Well, there's also an exception to that rule. The sequestration rule, usually under the Victims' Rights Act, says that the victim or the relatives, like mother and father normally, get to sit and observe the proceedings in their entirety, even if they're endorsed as a witness may be called. Now, the defense has filed a motion saying, yeah, we're not going to let everybody into the courtroom because they don't even fit the definition of a victim, which is normally immediate family. Now, I can say I've litigated this motion in the past. Normally, when I've had a child victim that was going to testify, the prosecution allowed mother or father to sit into the courtroom, and we objected, and we said we have them under subpoena. They should not be allowed to appear. Usually doesn't work, but why does the defense do it? Usually because you believe that the presence of the parent or relative in the courtroom is going to make some sort of impact, and not usually a good impact, for the defense. So I see why the defense is doing that, and frankly, I don't think there's a whole lot of love lost between the Woodcocks and Lori Vallow for obvious reasons. So, like I said, the court held a hearing today, and they're arguing over the definition of who is basically allowed to stay in the courtroom. Judge Boyce's order states that he would exclude witnesses from sitting in on certain testimony, but victims in the case could be exceptions. The question is, who's legally considered a victim under the Victims' Rights Act? Well, Robert Wood argued on behalf of the prosecution and basically said that the interpretation of victims should include anyone who suffers emotional harm as a result of the offense. He specifically pointed to JJ's grandparents, Kay and Larry Woodcock, who believes fits the definition of who should be allowed to watch the testimony of the trial in its entirety. Now, Lori's defense team responded saying that they believe that Colby Ryan is the only relative who fits the legal definition of a victim since he is a sibling of the deceased victim. The defense also argued that aunts and grandparents should not be considered victims under the statute. Archibald also argued that the children of Tammy Daybell would fit the legal definition of victims in this case, but said that he doesn't believe that they plan to be present at the trial. Archibald then argued that because of the Idaho adoption laws, and he argued that since JJ's biological parents gave up their legal rights, that means Kay Woodcock is no longer legally JJ's grandmother. Now, Archibald argued that Kay Woodcock gave herself the name of grandma. He argued since she is Charles Vallow's sister, she is actually JJ's aunt, and therefore not an immediate family member that would meet the legal definition of a victim of the crime under the Victims' Rights Act there in Idaho. Judge Boyce is going to take this under advisement, and the prosecution and defense have till 5 o'clock today to submit further briefings. Hopefully, the prosecution can get that done on time. So, a couple of things. Like I said, kind of a tactical move. The defense probably doesn't like the presence of the Woodcocks in the courtroom simply for the fact that they've been such strong advocates throughout this process, and I'm sure Lori Vallow doesn't want them there. What else is the defense doing? If the defense is raising motions like this and the prosecution is having to respond to motions, guess what? They're not preparing for their case. Tactical decision, yes. Probably leaves you a little dirty at night. Probably need to get that wire brush out to take a shower, I'm sure. But they're doing what they think they have to do to represent their client. They must think that it's going to be some tactical advantage. Clearly, this is designed for the Woodcocks. And I hope the prosecution and the judge get this right. This case may not even exist if it weren't for the Woodcocks that had this ongoing concern about where in the heck were JJ and Ty Lee. So hopefully the judge does the right thing. Even if the court rules against the Woodcocks as being a victim under the Idaho Bill of Rights, hopefully the prosecution will do everything that they can to accommodate them. And even so, I think Kay and Larry's testimony, if called to testify, would be early on in the case, and then they should be able to watch the remainder of the case in the courtroom. All right, I'll be back in the office tomorrow. It's been a busy day. Got up about 3 a.m., flew out to Akron, took a look at the plane. Clearly not ready yet. Hopefully by early next week, we're hoping. Crime Talk 1 needs to be able to get back and forth to Idaho, if you know what I'm saying. All right. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.